Shut up. The foot is on Triple M.
Tools down.
That's it. What a week it's been.
Radio on.
You don't want to miss this.
Triple M footy roars into the weekend.
That is an absolute ripper.
Here we go.
This is the Friday Huddle for Remont Water and McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Minute four remaining. 6-point lead to Carlton. Tigers going to go inside 50. What can Jacob Hopper do? Sends it deep. They're looking for Lynch. Big launch out of Lynch. What a freak he is. Michael Voss cannot look. Tom Lynch to draw the game. 25 seconds left. Lynch and nailed it. Scores level at the MCG.
17 seconds to go. The bounce in the middle's good. Now Curvis won the tap. Bolton lays the tackle. DeConey, can he get it out? Here goes Terra. Is it the opportunity for the Blues? Getting back. They've got the mark. Aiken put it to ground. Opportunity O'Brien. Step through. But he's going to be tackled to the ground. And the first game of the year ends in a draw.
What a start to the season. A draw in the first game. Welcome along to the Friday Huddle. Year 6, Darce and Nath calling the socks off at last night. Richmond and Carlton all square tonight at the MCG. The sun is shining. They're expecting 90,000 plus here for the reigning premiers. The Cats taking on the hot team from last year, Collingwood. The team is assembled for the sixth year. As I say, welcome along to a big year of the Friday Huddle. Look at across at the captain of the team. He looks fit. He looks tanned. He looks relaxed. Luke Darcy is here. Darce, well called last night. What a start to the season and great to see you.
What about that last night, Howie? A draw at the MCG, and it is a brilliant privilege to be back here again tonight. As you said, 90,000 plus. And with some of my favourite people, Howie, haven't seen the crew for a while. There's a lot of positive energy so far, I have to say, in the Friday Huddle box.
And we'll touch on that. And a man, I came in and saw him, and his hair looks thick and lustrous. He looks fantastic. He's got a $500 T-shirt on saying, "The fear of God." Nathan Brown is here. Hello to you, Noodles.
Always good to be at the MCG like it was last night. It's a privilege to watch a game like we did and then again tonight. And to see you guys, Damo, and you back from your holidays. Duke, I saw last night. Chief, I played tennis with. He's lost some weight over the summer. He looks fantastic as well.
He does. It's all positive. And Damien Barrett is here, the number one all-round guru in football media. After a nice summer break, Damo, I'm sure you, Janine, the boys had a relaxing time and you're ready to go again.
We are, Howie. It was really nice last past 45 minutes just catching up with all of you guys and reminiscing over what you've been doing. And you said Darce was fit, tan and relaxed. You described him as that. He also describes himself as a Tom Brady lookalike, as
did,
I discovered in the last 20 minutes.
Well, as I said, Damo, and if you could quote me correctly, let's get
I look like Tom Brady,
you said. I just said that happens to me a lot when I'm in America. And given Giselle is now solo, Howie, and floating around Costa Rica, where I think you spent some time, I just thought it might be time for me to wander over. It happens to me a lot, though, Damo, in America. I get mistaken for Tom Brady a lot.
Steve Stifler would have been a better match.
And as we welcome the newest member of the team, but he joined us for the third year, but remarkably, we need to applaud this man because the Chief, Mr. 1254, is about to commence his 25th year on Triple Football, which deserves a round of applause.
Really?
Chief, it's going to be a big 25th year. Over the duration of the season, we are going to touch on the 25 most magnificent moments you've been involved in. And for those that just want to get a bit of a taste of what the Chief's brought to the station over 25 years, have a listen to this bad boy.
That's not his future. His future's not one bloody year. Then? It is not one bloody year. This is exactly what Channel 10 do. This is sensationalism, Hugh. You're talking shit is what you're doing right now.
Don't swear on it.
How about you pull up, Lanky? They come in here firing shots straight away.
When a whole side has been decimated by injuries and you stuck the whole side up.
But I need my pipe cleaned. You'll be the first one I call you pull through.
I need to ship off someone that's a very, very big name. A lady that is synonymous with success in Australian sport, Dawn Fraser. Dawn, I love you and you're very Australian. But
ship off Dawn Fraser. Shipped her off.
You can't ship off our Dawn.
I do love Dawn.
She's 78, Chief.
Yep, and just got shipped. You need to find your place in this commentary box, Darce.
That's my second pull through in 2 weeks from
big lanky long neck pinhead.
I'm telling you, you're talking shit.
Don't swear on air.
You are better than that. No, you shut up and listen instead of talking shit.
Don't speak to me like that.
Well, then I won't talk to you.
Get out of the box.
Will do.
I will not work with someone like that. Get out of the box right now. Go on, nick off. Just throwing a whole tray of food on me.
A whole tray.
Nick off. I'm not working with those.
Shut up.
Get out.
we might have overplayed our hand. If that's not the number one moment, I think we know who's in the grand final already.
In Triple M footy history, that Chief. Oh, do you enjoy that more, Chief, as it ages?
There's a little bit of
I do.
Mischievous editing has gone on with that whole little package. But I can't remember the last 24 and a half years. So it's going to be very tough for me trying to recall half the things you're talking about.
That's never not funny, that audio, Chief.
No, you see, it gets judged by today's standards now. That's where we need to probably give it a rest and just start moving on.
Even today's standards, you get away with it.
You transcend generations.
Oh, shut up.
I mentioned that...
He threw a bucket of fried rice.
A whole tray of food.
And said it was a crumb.
A whole tray of fruit, he said.
A couple of grains of rice.
And the apology was
the problem was the one prawn.
We're not good at apologising here, are we? Let's be honest. I said Darce is the captain, but Chief, as Mr. 1254 sets the culture, and we've had issues over the last few years where we've attacked each other too much. It's become a negative space. I thought it was fantastic. We're on a group WhatsApp, and for me, it was about 1 a.m. in the morning. I got a WhatsApp, and Chief initiated. And rarely, Chief typically responds quite strongly, but Chief initiated it. It was a one-line WhatsApp that said, "I love you, blokes."
He actually did say that.
He said, "I love you, blokes."
It was disconcerting, wasn't it?
It was. And then it followed up by, "I'm in London. I've had 7 pints." But Chief
may have had a few mushies as well.
I thought he was going to come home and tell us he was married. That's how happy he was.
but I think
I half expected that. I thought you were going to come home and say, "I'm getting married, boys."
You're an idiot. Why? Well, that's just nonsensical, Nathan.
It was a beautiful text, Chief, and I appreciate it. And I think as a culture, Damo, that's the buzzword in footy and sport these days. I think we're all about peace, love, joy and happiness.
Yeah. And what we also want to do is be what footballers say these days. We want to be the best versions of ourselves.
We do.
So, yeah. And Chief's leading the way with that. Yeah.
That's right.
Well, we're trying anyway, aren't we? I mean, we take each other for granted because we work week in, week out. And by the end of the year, we've probably had enough of each other. But when you don't see your mates for a while, you kind of, you look forward to catching up again.
You have been rolling with your own hashtag, Happy Chief. Is that something that's sustainable?
I've been happy for years. It's just that you blokes don't like it when I'm happy. That's the problem.
We like angry Chief, grumpy Chief.
I prefer happy.
The Fox Footy photo shoot with the Happy Chief smiling in his board shorts in a pool down
at
the Yarra.
That's right,
was outstanding.
And the fact that he's got a sports car as well.
Yep, yeah.
The Kia Stinger. It's a sports car,
nice
Chief.
Nice car, Chief.
I've been there for 3 years.
But it's still a sports car. It's made you happy.
You're just throwing out these random statements from left field that have
that absolutely... does feel a touch midlife crisis, Chief.
Midlife crisis? It's a Kia.
You hardly fit in it.
That's why it's a midlife crisis, Chief.
What should I be in, a minibus?
The old brown Volvo was you at your best, Chief. That was your absolute pinnacle.
It's a great car, but it takes you about 30 seconds to get in it.
I'm not sure about you, Nathan. We've just had this discussion about how we all want to be up and about.
We are.
That's right. And all you're doing.
How was your holiday?
It was fantastic.
You went to Costa Rica.
I did.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was a busy cricket season. I went there with the beautiful wife, Erica, and the kids. We surfed. We ate well. We had a couple of beers and just enjoyed the Pacific Coast. It was fantastic.
Maybe you got some humility over there, but I was hoping that you'd get some over there. But because you didn't have any when you left, when you're excited, how excited are you when you go through the big double doors at Tullamarine, you're going overseas and you set your answering service, and this is what Howard set his answering service as before
we went overseas.
Because I rang him.
Hey, Howie here. Hope you're having a magnificent day. Maybe not as good as mine. I'm overseas surfing until March 15. So if you need me, hit me up on email or send me a WhatsApp and I will get back to you. Have a great day. Bye.
That
was in November.
Well, no, that wasn't in November.
That was in November.
I doubt an international summer of cricket to cover. But what was that? That's a positive message. Just saying I'm away and have a fantastic day, Nathan.
But you said to people you're probably not having as good a day as mine.
Well, I probably weren't. but just hang on. You blokes have had 4 months to come up with the first segment.
Well, I'm part of this.
I
hadn't heard that. But
tell me that Nath is not opening the bowling at the start of the show, round one.
It's got a bit of Steve Harmison first ball the Ashes about.
Not the way to lead.
Give it to me off the top. And that was.
You got anything else, or is that all you've got?
No, that's it. The other bit of audio Tunnicliffe won't let me use. So we'll go to Damo.
No, you're going to have about three layers of this and I was going to come in.
Oh, hang on. Damo's not coming in for anything. Tell me Damo's not doing the funny stuff.
He's got the funny stuff.
He has got the funny stuff.
Well, Darcy, you help me out with this one. We noticed about 2 weeks ago, Triple M put out a media release identifying the talent that was available for football coverage this particular year. And you scanned the names of the people listed in that particular release.
Did I?
Yeah, you did.
And was there a notable absentee?
There was a noticeable absentee.
So Chief would be up the top of the tree, I'm assuming.
Chief was there. You were there.
Major signing, I
yep.
mentioned.
Yep, there was no mention of Howard at all.
No part of...
Did you see that? There were 28 names mentioned.
So is this a joke?
Or no, you weren't mentioned.
Was it? Well, actually, to be fair, I'm not actually think I've got a contract at the moment.
We weren't sure you're going to be here tonight.
Right.
And that is concerning for us at the moment, Howie, because we know your rise has been meteoric in this game. And it's been beautiful to watch. We've loved it. I remember you when you used to sit down there on the boundary, we'd throw down Chief, remember? And there'd be a little squeaky voice, come down, we'd be out of here, and we'd go. That's enough, Howie. We'll talk to you after the game. And that was 8 years of just, people don't realise that, Howie.
A lot of time down there.
Meteoric rise. And incredible to the top of the tree.
If I spent eight down there, it's not exactly meteoric.
Well, after that, it was meteoric and self-proclaimed. You know, the greatest, the biggest and the best, which concerned me when I heard that your show, Live and Kicking, has been put into production.
Live and Kicking?
Best on ground. That was Chiefs that got cancelled.
Was it? In fairness, it wasn't on long enough for me to watch it, so I apologise for getting the name wrong, Howie. But
not wasn't talking footy.
I know this space well.
So what are you saying? I know
special projects. We'll call you, don't call us back, Howie. Now, that worries me because you've been on that sort of curve and eventually the curve just turns. We hope on the way up that you've treated people well. Because you know on the way down, a few couple
of... So you think I'm on the way down?
Well,
I've never seen more billboards in my life than that Best on Ground show when it came out. I've heard the budget was so big that Chief's show had to take a back seat and still double the ratings of your show.
That is part of this story.
Chief got dirty.
Needs to be addressed because you always know when the big bosses say, we love the show, it was fantastic, but not coming back anytime. So that happens, and it's happened. I sit by the phone every day waiting for the talking footy team to ring me back. That hasn't happened, but I'm told, see, there's a man that I sit next to here, Chief. Yeah. He just quietly sits there very humbly and does his Sunday show, The Bounce. But the Bounce team, you don't think Moons and Gazy and the boys were going, the shiny new toy in the family that got all the attention, we've dusted them off. And they're not coming back, Chief.
Well, the problem was Rui's moved to the States, so you lose a big piece of the puzzle, Howie.
That's right. We lost
Made
Rui,
life difficult.
And I think we overspent our budget by 1,500%. But I think not special projects. We're back at a better time slot in round five.
So as the captain of that show and the host...
Rui?
You.
Oh, right.
Do you take responsibility or do you palm that off to, say, Bucks or Rui or...
Responsibility for what?
For the show being cancelled.
Well, the show's not cancelled.
No, it's not coming back.
Well, it's just coming back at...
You did take great delight when the footy show finally ran into its ground after 28 years.
That's not true.
You did. You blamed me for it. You blamed Brownie for it. You blamed everyone.
You
took great delight in that ending.
Did. I thought it was a hurtful show for 27 years, and then you sunk it, Damo.
I was on it for 12.
Well, listen, I think Best on Ground comes back occasionally, but that's just the way of the industry.
Do you look back and think maybe you could have done better?
I think we did our best. I think it will be back bigger, better, and stronger. So and it's a lesson in humility.
The question I've got is... the contract now. So the 6x6, which turned into 1.2x6, I would have thought by this stage. So we went through the top five money earners last year. So I'm just wondering, do you get a clip on the contract or do you have to fill out the contract somehow or what happens?
That's a good question.
Is he still managing that process for you?
Have you still got that slush fund, that offshore account that we heard you talking about to your bank manager one night?
All I can say, Nathan, is I will just turn up, as I always do, all summer and all winter for Fox Sports and do whatever they ask me to do, Nathan.
Chief, do you feel justified in your history at the Bounce? You've seen off another show.
We haven't seen off anything.
You were death riding your show, though, Chief.
That's ridiculous to suggest that. This is the same network that I work for, you bozos, as if I'm going to be sipping.
No, you're privately and quietly.
You have been grinning. Not at all.
You haven't contributed to this conversation, but you've been grinning back there.
No, I think you're being a bit harsh on Howie.
Thanks, Chief.
Because as host, he wasn't given a lot to work with.
Oh.
I mean, they're trying to get a laugh and you put bucks next to
them. And when they did brand themselves as a really humorous, funny entertainment show. That set the bar pretty high. I was nervous for it. We did bring this up.
They did say they were the comedy, didn't they?
Mm, we bring the entertainment.
Well, I wouldn't have done anything differently, and I think you'll see Best on Ground return at some stage to the Fox.
We could do a collaboration, Talking Footy and your show, Howie. We'll come back to
you. Have you allowed it to come back? Is it allowed to come back too?
Yep. Hey, the powers that be that make those decisions has nothing to do with me, Damo.
For Ream Hot Water at McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
We still need to discover what everyone did over the summer. From what I can gather, Nath, you had a fair bit of time off, and your holiday, you told me you did some bushwalking
in the Yuyangs.
In the Yuyangs.
Finding a better version of myself, Howard.
Is where Nath went. Darsh, you went to
Byron.
Can I
just, before we move off, Nate?
Yeah.
You made a comment on the thickness of the rug up top, mate. Has there been... We know that you applied for special dispensation...
Through WADA
to take a...
finasteride.
Performance-enhancing drug to keep your hair.
To keep your hair.
Wasn't performance-enhancing.
That's why it was on the WADA banned list.
Hair-enhancing.
Have you done something else, Nate? Because it seems...
Just trying out a new hair product at the moment, which makes it look nice and thick.
What are you observing,
Darsh? Just like a sort of ruggy sort of look about it, like thicker.
What's it called, the new product?
Morris Motley.
Right, yeah. Morris Motley.
Yeah, that's it, man. It's quite good.
This is not my area, because this is your area.
Christina likes it.
The forehead is spectacular this year.
Oh, it is smooth? Botox?
How many wrinkles I've got, Damo? Look at these. Look at that.
Might be time for another
wrinkles
dose.
Everywhere. I've never had a dose.
Yes, you did. You have to use your hand to produce a wrinkle.
We exposed your Botox use last year, and you know you
this
did.
This is full online, Chief. Have a look at it.
It's like a slab of marble.
No, it is not. There are lines everywhere.
What's the hair product? What's it called?
Morris Motley.
Morris Motley, and it promotes... growth?
It doesn't promote growth. It's just a nice thickening agent.
Now, Nate, as a man of God, you need to tell the truth. You need to tell the truth a lot more often, because that would be Christian virtue.
Mm.
Did you take Botox?
No. No, I didn't. No Botox.
Did you take anything similar to Botox?
No.
Any products at all?
No. Did you inject anything in your head?
No.
At all?
Brownie. Did you rub anything on you?
Brownie. He's got a confession.
I look the same as what I did last year right now.
He's got a confession for sure. Howie, there's no
Brownie,
way he's
not allowed to lie in that religion.
See, I don't mind this when you guys attack me. What I don't like is when outsiders attack our group or somebody in our group. And I felt that somebody outside our group attacked our captain, and I don't like it.
Well, what happened?
Well, we know that Sam signed a very lucrative deal, and there were some people out there on another radio station who thought it probably wasn't as lucrative as it needed to be.
Sam Darcy, the young Bulldog superstar.
Because the old man is on the board.
Oh,
really? Now,
I
don't like it. I don't like the way they went about it. And he's my former captain.
I think you do like the way they went about it, to be honest.
Why are you smiling?
Because you raise it out of nowhere.
But I brought the audio just so you can hear it for yourself.
Okay.
Just I think the Duke screwed his son. He screwed him over.
Just depends on how juicy the deal might have been.
Oh, you think they might have got the big bag anyway?
Of course.
Maybe.
I saw Duke last week. He looked very, very happy and comfortable with himself.
So the gist of the conversation they cut it off a bit further. Tim Watson and Gary Lyon. And
being
Tim,
very mischievous.
Tim
too,
was
there.
Very concerned that he may have signed too early.
So Sam signed a new deal, has he?
A new deal.
Right.
When Tim thought he didn't need to, might have been a little bit early.
It's your area, what type of figure?
I'm thinking maybe 400 a year for Sam.
For the most promising young forward in the competition.
Absolutely. But
sounds unders.
What Tim was referring to was maybe because the dad's on the board, that it was a sweetening deal mates rates where maybe Sam could have held out to the end of the year and maybe that four became a six. So what Tim, very mischievously, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just bringing it to your attention because it hurt.
And this is what I love about you, Nate. You're always in your corner.
He's saying
it hurts you,
that you being on the board might have cost Sam $1.2
million. And I hadn't...
It's gone from 400 to $1.2 million.
Over 6 years now.
Okay.
Did you put the club ahead of your son?
I'm just thinking, was there a way to siphon any off my way? Now that you think about it, is there? And I would have nothing to do with that, Dama, as you'd imagine. He's got his own life and his own management. So
who's
that would
his
be Tom Petro. Okay.
Not Ned,
you know,
Kelly.
Tommy.
Not Ned Kelly.
Ned's no longer with us, with his former role.
With us. He's still with us.
Refuses to be with us tonight. Does a great job, Tommy. Lovely fellow.
All jokes aside, you've been through that as a player yourself. Does Sam come to you and ask your opinion on a contract when he signs it? Because obviously it's the second one he signed, but it's going to be bigger than the last one, and it's going to take him through to the next 3 or 4 years.
No, he doesn't. No, he's got a very capable person in his corner. Nice to be able to be just his dad and be separate from those conversations. And good luck to him. How lucky are you to play sport for a living, Nate? So that wouldn't have direct involvement with me.
So on Sam, we discussed this last year that you were going to face an awkward situation when you wanted to watch your young son play. I think Bulldogs have got 5-6 early Saturday night games. How are you and the Seven Network? Are you going to call your son? Are you going to stand up and do the right thing by the public, or are you not going to?
You think that'd be a good thing to do?
I think it'd be fantastic. Positive feedback would be outstanding.
I can't imagine any downside me doing
what
that.
What I'd like
Howie.
To see you
people
is
would be
calling,
pretty generous, wouldn't they, Chief, if I was
call
out there.
The Western Bulldogs against a West Australian team. The positivity that will come back your way, Darcy.
I didn't feel like that was a hard conversation to have. That wouldn't be appropriate. And it'd be nice to be sit next to his mum, Beck, and watch some
your
games.
Your wife.
And his mum, too.
You're not with Giselle yet. That's your wife.
Tell you what, if that opportunity is there, we could. I'll be sitting in the crowd on Saturday night.
Chief, how's it going to work? I was saying to Darcy as we got here, and Dame, I'd be interested in your thoughts. As an impartial, when I'm at home, I'll flick the footy on, some games grab me. I can't wait to watch the Bulldogs with the thought of Sam playing forward, Norton playing forward, Ugel Hagen. You've also got English drifting down, and there's one other.
Rory Lobb.
Like, yep. The land of the Giants, it's been dubbed. They play Melbourne, who have not got Stephen May. As a sports fan, that's a forward line I'm looking forward to seeing, Chief. How does it operate?
That's a very good question, Howie. I'm not as bullish about it as a lot of people are.
Right.
I can't remember the last time I saw a team win a game on contested marks. I can't remember the last time, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you count them on one hand, the last time contested marks up forward won a game of footy. It just doesn't happen very often. So, and you've got to think about it. When you're playing four tall forwards, they're not four superstars. You might have one, maybe two guns. And the third and fourth aren't normally superstars, so let's not get too carried away about what your expectations of them are. The bigger concern for me is what happens if they don't mark the footy. What happens when the ball hits the deck? So, but I love the fact that we're experimenting and we're trying different things. And I think a lot of people, a lot of coaches are looking at how to unlock scoring and how to attack more. Even though I think the game got a bit of stage fright in the first half last night, we're kind of watching it going, oh, this looks a little bit strange. It opened up in the second half and was a lot more enjoyable. But I look forward to seeing how it unfolds because I'm not a big rap of playing all those tools up forward.
You didn't share the forward line that well either, did you?
Well, it was a very different game back then, Nate.
You didn't like Dermot, though, did you?
No, well, I didn't call myself the best player in the game for 10 weeks.
10 years for you, when you referenced those four tools there, Chief, was Bradshaw, Brown and Lynch, the Brisbane Lions superstars of that era, was that the last time and maybe only time at least three have worked from that three-man perspective?
Yeah, and even then, probably Bradshaw was waning when Lynchy was taking over that key spot then. And I mean, it was kind of Lynch and Brown or Bradshaw and Brown most of the time is when it really works. So I just don't think it happens that often. And it'll be, you know, I love the fact that we're going to see it tried, particularly with May out, which gives them the opportunity to try and exploit the Demons' defence. So it'll be a really fascinating test case, I think.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy. He's a self-proclaimed footy superstar.
I reckon I was probably the most influential player in the AFL.
He fears nothing and no one.
This is all off-air stuff that you're not allowed to talk about on air, but I've gone with it anyway.
And he sees the world a little differently.
Just watching a Komodo dragon eat a monkey.
This is Nathan Brown's Top 5.
All right, Nate.
Don't get your hopes up too high. It's been a long season.
Oh, you can't sail it like that.
But I was watching the footy last night, right? So I had a few ideas for the top five. Then I saw a draw last night. I caught it with you, Duke, and I just felt flat at the end of the game. And I know people are traditionalists, and I know that they'll say, no, a draw's okay, 2 points, that's the way it is, the way it's always been. But they can't give you any other advice of why that is. I'm happy to get a result. I think there should be 4 points either way. It should be a golden point or a golden goal. Imagine the excitement, Duke.
Penalty shootout for 45
that's
metres.
That's what I'm on, Dust.
So, and I see Chief already disagrees with me because he's...
No, I'm not. I don't feel strongly either way, truth be told.
So I thought let's go through some of the great draws of all time and try and listen to the audio and try and figure out...
Just before we do this, you just told me you had 4 months where you didn't work and this idea has sprung at you at 10:30 p.m. last night after the draw.
It did. I had a couple of things that I was trying to get up, but they just couldn't... work, and I've got them in the pipes for next week and the week after, right. But I just had to get one.
So you're going to play as audio of other draws?
I am.
That's your top five.
I had to get next one's legal because
you're
it involved
the captain.
Legal.
Legal. The one next week, legal, because really? That involves the Bible. I was going to do stuff out of the Bible.
What was the Bible?
Oh, wow.
This would be good. So.
You're the captain of this rather leaky ship. He's had 4 months.
It's been a pretty ordinary start for Nate. He'd probably have a run in the reserves if you're using the footy parlance. Get some form back, Nate.
Got an email from the boss last night. He thought the call last night was great.
He was pretty happy with your form.
He hasn't listened to your first 10 minutes tonight, though, has he?
you bailed on that plan you had in the first segment. I saw your eyes roll.
Yep.
And you said,
it's not too late, Nate, to change, Tad. Have you got something else?
No, I had the Bible
help
thing.
Help me out here, Chief.
And,
do you think we should go with the segment and just scrap it and move on?
We could do some news if you need to.
I want to hear the Bible thing.
That's
next week.
He hasn't got that ready.
I'm just trying to figure out if it's okay to do. It's more a verse out of the Bible, Chief, and then relaying it back to a football term.
Oh, that could be good.
I'd prefer to hear it tonight, unpolished and sort of.
I don't think so, Howie.
That could be really dangerous, Howie.
Don't worry about the legal.
That's for next week. No, I am worried about the legal.
Can't wait for next week.
It's a minefield.
So are the Chokers.
What is this? The top five?
Draws of all time.
You can't just roll that out as a segment, Nate. In round one, we're trying to grow our audience.
Yeah. Well, let's do away with the four, and we'll just go straight to the one.
No, we need all five.
You've got to back yourself.
You want them all?
Yep.
Yeah.
You want them all. Okay, well.
You can't do a top five with just one.
I'm leaning towards just the one.
No.
All turned around on the idea because I used to love a draw. I celebrated a draw, and coming in at number five is that.
Kick us down at 2 seconds. We've got a draw. Now that's interesting. I think he thought he was going to get the free kick. Nathan Brown was celebrating.
You celebrated a draw, Nate.
No, celebrated like a draw. But I'll like turn it. Around. You feel how flat these commentary bits are when you hear them. Everybody's up and about, and then the draw happens, and then everybody
comes in. Like this segment.
So you're going to play four more of them for us to really flatten us.
Yes.
Okay. I didn't mind that start. I think you're away. Okay.
So
you're away.
So we saw a play last night when the pressure comes on, when it's close, it's a close game. Mitch McGovern made a couple of mistakes. Kicked one out of bounds on the floor. Went 40 rows back last night, but... he stood up when it counted at one time as well, a couple of years ago. You actually called this, Howard, but we've gone with the TV call.
Oh, thanks for that.
This is it. This is it. Oh, yes, it is. McGovern's done it. How does it end? We don't know. Now we do. It's a draw. It's a classic.
Even Bruce went flat then, Chief. He went flat. He didn't know how to bring it up. Imagine an extra couple of minutes either end, Howard. How good would that be?
I was trying to get Howie's attention.
Right.
Sorry.
Why were you trying to get his attention?
I wanted to get his attention.
What, are you trying to laugh at me behind my back?
No.
We normally laugh at you.
Number three, Nate.
We've still got three to go, Chief.
This is really dragging on, Chief.
Keep laughing.
This is really dragging on.
Number three is a man in another box, and it's Matthew Lloyd.
Another draw. Righto. Yeah.
20 metres out, the angles are cute. In he comes for goal number six. He's missed it. We have a tie at Colonial.
There's quarters.
He missed it. Yeah,
he missed that one.
It was a draw.
Okay.
This is my favourite of all time. I'll
Chief,
this
how
game.
Going so far?
I'm going to take you back to 1993 and one of the greatest Carlton players of all time, Stephen Kernaghan. All he needed was a point
at this
to
ground.
Win the game.
At this ground.
In that pocket over there.
Sexton's kick into the pocket. Kernaghan!
Oh, he's marked it!
What a scene here at the MCG. The ball with the Carlton captain, and he has to score to win the game for the Blues. And he misses. It's out of bounds. It's a draw. Oh, no.
Sandy at the end. Okay, but I've saved the best for last because if you are going to call a draw, and the most famous draw is the 2010 Grand Final, so if you're going to have a boring draw and the game ends right there, it's going to be a Triple M call. Now, I want you to hear how up James Brayshaw is for a start.
Okay.
Spud is in the background clapping a draw, and then Gary sounds like he's... I'm not sure what Gary was on this.
We're down to 5 seconds. Four, three, two. Here's your siren. One. There it is. A drawn grand final for only the second time in AFL VFL history.
We're coming back next week, Jim. I can't believe it. We are coming back next week.
And that's the top five for the night. How'd that go?
Oh. I didn't mind it.
Chief, you're our arbiter of these things. What do you think?
I thought the 77 grand final might have got into the top five.
It's hard to get good audio out though, Chief.
Okay.
Peter Lynch.
No, the audio you found was spectacularly modest, wasn't it?
Leroy.
Leroy's in here.
I'm with you, and it comes up every year, and you get howled down, but I'm watching that last night, and all I want is the siren to sound, and five blokes line up for each team and try and kick it from 45, and you get a result. And that's the most, for me, the most dramatic moment of the season you're going to get.
I'll be right up for that.
It'll be amazing to see who they pick for their own teams.
Oh. Yep, that'd be interesting. See, that brings a whole new level of excitement into things. And some will say it shouldn't be decided on a kick like that, but if you haven't been able to decide
120 minutes,
why not? And it should be sudden death. So as soon as someone misses and the other person kicks it,
I like
game
that.
Over.
From 45, Howard?
So I'd make it
the
penalty shootout style where you've got to get to how many goals you have to get.
So you get five shots.
Yep. And because you imagine the drama in the theatre. Do you take the first kick? Do you take the last kick? I'd even love the opposition to be able to select one of the five.
Oh, there you get it, Gary. Imagine that.
This is why I did the top five. Now we've come up with great ideas.
We could have come up with those without the top five, but yeah. No, well done, mate. Well done. Well done.
For Ream Hot Water at McDonald's, Triple M rocks three.
Farrow's another one for Smith. Selwood. Be great to see him kick a goal. Oh. Selwood on the check side. All hail Joel Selwood. He can't believe it. He's got his head in his hands. It's an emotional moment for the skipper. What a skipper he has been for the football club. Four premierships, one of the most lauded, respected players in the history of the game, not only at Geelong. He joins us on the boundary in what must be slightly strange scenes for him. So much to look forward to in life, but Joel Selwood joins us. Joel, Mark Howard, Luke Darcy, Damien Barrett, Nathan Brown and Jason Dunstall. Good evening to you. How are you, mate?
I'm going well, boys. Thanks for having me on. It is a little bit weird. I've just walked down from Fed Square with a truckload of people, and that's one thing that I've never done before, and looking forward to what's ahead tonight.
What's it like sitting down there on the boundary as you are now as a retired player watching your mates warm up for a game that's going to be in front of 90,000 people, mate?
I'm actually okay with it, Howie. It's just I'm not sure why, but if you asked me a couple of years ago, I probably would have struggled with it. But the way that last year, I just loved everything about the way that we were playing, our game style, the guys that I was going to work with. I just knew it was my turn to step away and let the next guys come through, and they're ready to take this club to keep going to great places.
Hey, Joel, congratulations again on everything you achieved. And more than that, the incredible class with which you handed yourself out here on this ground in your last game to a captain, your side to a premiership, and the way you looked after people on that day in the crowd and right across the whole Geelong community. What's the feeling? Is this a sense of satisfaction now? Is it a sense that your career was as good as you could have hoped?
Oh, I probably couldn't have got much more out of it, if anything. I would have, would have loved to win it every year. That's probably a bit too much, though. But I just love, to be honest, so I loved going to work. I could count the bad days on one hand. I was just fortunate that we set up programs, a culture that was able to do that. And hopefully, the boys can say that too, that they just love coming to work and enjoy being around each other. And it's funny, that last day was it was something else, but it's strange when everyone pulls things apart. There's more cameras, obviously, on the day, but they're just things that not only the Geelong Footy Club, but footy clubs all around Australia and sports clubs, they do them. And I don't know, someone must have told a secret out there that I was finishing up and there was lots on me that day.
Joel, I've always thought the best part of footy clubs is the camaraderie, the fact that you go and train together, you spend time with your mates. So now that you're not doing that, I mean, when it's time to go to training, when you get the itchy feet and you feel like doing something, how do you handle that moment?
Oh, well, it's actually been pretty lonely down Bowen Heads. I went to call Howie at one stage and he's sunbaking somewhere over the other side of the world. But can't get him out for a run. I maybe roll the arm over every now and then if I can. But I just haven't, not that I haven't missed the boys, but I've been in contact and catching up with them. But the training side of things, it's a nice 5 minute jog, 5K jog for me. And then that's satisfying me at the moment.
Hey, Joel, you work with the Melbourne Storm. Do you get nervous going into another sporting environment, somewhere that you haven't played, obviously? And tell us through about that.
Yeah, I do. I do, Brownie. It's one that I wanted to do it because it was completely different to what I had done for the last 16 years. Always in envy of the Melbourne Storm and how they were always up there, similar to the Cats, playing off and having a crack at it. So it's been really interesting. The cultural side of things is something else, you know, getting guys from, you know, different states, obviously, but also the internationals that come in and trying to get them to all dance together at the right time. And Craig Bellamy and Frank Panisi run a really good ship.
Joel, a lot of changes, obviously, and you've outlined a few of those already, but the biggest moment really happened in late February. How's fatherhood?
It's great. To be honest, little Joey came on the scene then, and he changes your life, no doubt. I'm not sure. It gives me more respect to the boys that have been able to be fathers whilst they're playing, but loved every minute of it. A nice, healthy birth. Mum's good, and looking forward to all that time I get to spend with him.
And back onto the Cats, are you looking forward to what lies ahead from a leadership perspective? And do you need to tap Paddy on the shoulder every now and again just to maybe hint to him how he should be doing things?
Oh, probably, but he wouldn't listen to me anyway, Domo, so there's no point doing that. To be honest, they're fine. And the group's big. Obviously, Paddy and Tom are in those leadership positions, but to be honest, they bat like, you know, nearly 12, 13 deep. It's a group that will get together on occasions, probably once a month, and they'll talk through the game style, they'll talk through how they think we're going, and to be honest, the coaches sit back and listen, and then they put a game plan around it that suits the players that are going to be out there.
Listening to the voice of Joel Selwood going into a lap of honour around the MCG tonight, which couldn't be more appropriate. Did I read, Sel, that you're having a little stint over with the Australian cricket team of the Ashes this year? Is that true?
I'm going to be over there during June and July. Whether I join in or not, we'll wait and see. But there's a lot of sport. I've told Brit over there at that time. There's a Tour de France that's going on. Royal Ascot's also got some horse racing on, and Wimbledon. So I don't know how I'll fit it all in, but I'll have a crack at having a look at a bit of everything.
And Joey will be 5 months old or so at that stage. Joel, have you got any concept of what it's going to be like? We're all just sort of having a bit of a chuckle up here in the box that of those have tried to do it. How are you going to go with a five-month-old on the road?
No, I can turn to the box here and ask for a bit of advice, because I reckon I probably understand I'm going to be at the deep end, but how deep is it, guys?
It's pretty deep, Joel.
Yeah, good luck with that one.
It's a gutsy move, but I respect you for it. What do you bring to the table if the Bowen Heads cricket team want to sign you up? You're involved with the Aussies. Are you a batter or a bowler? What are you going to be doing next summer?
No, I'm a 12th man, right. Howie, so I can be there. I'll enjoy the boys on the sidelines, and that's about it. My fingers are no good. Maybe a wicket keeper if you can throw the gloves on them.
We could sort that out. Hey, mate, you've been involved since, was it 2007 down at the footy club, and for that whole time, what you missed, once in the eight, I think you had an incredible run of success. You got an incredible percentage of game wins. What is it about Geelong that has enabled it to sustain so much success through various coaching groups and various playing groups?
Oh, it's a question. It's hard to answer, to be honest. Like, we just, to be honest, try and get the best out of every individual that comes into the club and make sure they walk out. They probably come in as boys and walk out as better men, and want to leave that imprint on not only themselves but the footy club too. So I look around tonight, and you know, I'm so proud of, you know, there's many walks of life. There's two Irish boys that are talking to each other right now. Cam Guthrie, who's been the captain of our midfield for the last couple of years more than anything else, and then the numbers are coming through, and you throw in Tanner Bruin and Ollie Henry tonight. These boys get a shot at playing at Geelong Footy Club for the next 10 years. How lucky.
You done, Harry?
Yes.
I didn't know if he had a seventh consecutive question. Once you've done your travel, mate, and you've settled down, I guarantee you, you're going to get tapped on the shoulder by the AFL, whether it's to do with state of the game, rule changes, selection committees, state of umpiring, interpretation, all sorts of things. Do you have an interest in getting involved should they come a knocking?
Oh, don't scare me, Chief. I'm looking forward to just the gap year at the moment.
Yeah.
And that's probably why I didn't jump into anything, to be honest. Come the end of the year, I love the game. I think it's the best game in the world. I don't pass that on to my colleagues at the NRL at the moment, but it is the best game in the world. I will be back at some stage. I just don't know where that fits. And taking a bit of time out, maybe give me a bit of time to work out where that exactly is.
Smart. Now that you've finished, what's a luxury that you have right now that you didn't have when you were playing AFL football?
Well, I can eat and drink what I like, but I sort of did that anyway. no, I sort of haven't changed life too much. I guess it's that that June-July holiday that I've never had.
Joel, good luck. You've done some tough things on the football field. I think the gutsiest move yet is to take a 5-month on an overseas trip. But good luck to you, mate. I'm sure you'll be at the right end of the plane. Can't wait to see you get due rewards tonight in front of 90,000 people here at halftime. Good on you, mate. Great to speak with you.
Thanks, guys. I know also something else that's brave tonight is I'm about to do it. Oh.
No, we got you still, Joel.
I'm about to do a lap of honour, and it's in front of the Collingwood faithful. There could be 30,000 Cats fans, but there's going to be 60,000 Collingwood fans. So wish me luck.
You're on your job. Right, you're killing us. He's a superstar, Joel Selwood. He'll be coming to the Howie Games very soon, Chief, so don't miss that episode.
It just had the Howie Games.
Just had it.
Just put that one out.
Place it was four.
It was two questions.
It was a seven. It was a turn questions. Your back on your colleagues.
Correct.
I'm the interviewer here.
I'm down there.
Chief's in front of you going,
well,
I'd like to ask
you
this question.
You both just make a series of statements rather than ask any questions.
You should have told him about that sleeping juice you got on at the moment.
I didn't realise Ray Martin had walked into the box.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Chief, in all seriousness, you were privileged enough to spend a lot of time over the off-season travelling the world. You went skiing in Canada and you went to some extraordinary sporting events.
I had a fun break, Howie. I was away for 5 weeks and thoroughly enjoyed it. And to the point where you seriously debate whether you want to come home.
All right.
Because you're enjoying travelling that much.
What was the highlight?
Oh, it's very difficult. It's a tie between seeing the Northern Lights and going to Anfield for a Champions League game.
List what you did. List everything you did. Because
it's
something
about the Northern Lights. So where were you?
So we skied at Sun Peaks, which is outside of Kamloops, which is about an hour out of Vancouver. And then we took a flight up to a place called Whitehorse, which is up in the Yukon, about 500 miles from the Alaskan border. And they take you out, you put all the warm gear on, and they kind of, you get picked up by a bus, and they take you out to basically a camping ground, if you like, where there's huts where you can have your coffees and your hot chocolates and whatever, and a big field and a heap of seats, and the lights don't come out all the time, and it's luck of the draw, and sometimes of the year are better than others, and we weren't in a particularly common time of the year for seeing them in full flight, but we happened to get lucky and we got a cloudless night where they came out and they just put on a half-hour show. It was green.
And there'll be people that are listening that don't really understand that phenomenon. Yeah. So you explain.
Well, look, it's to do with air pressure and things that are travelling. But all of a sudden, the sky lights up and green, pink and purple were the colours that we saw. And it's like a light show across the sky. Yeah. And they move and they jump up and down. It's like they're dancing. And it lasted for half an hour. And we just sat there completely mesmerised. It's one of the best things I've ever seen. Chills down the back of the spine and going, oh, my God, this is frightening. We did it a couple of days later. We went out again, and it was a bit overcast. And all we saw that night was a little bit of green tinge around some of the clouds. Mm-hmm. So luck of the draw was big. But we got a half-hour show of just the absolute top-notch stuff.
There's another side to the Chief. This is the travelling Chief.
Oh, I loved
who
it.
Went to the Super Bowl.
So we saw the Kansas City Philadelphia game.
Yep,
and that didn't make your top two.
No, that was third.
Yeah,
I would have said that was third. Oh, I missed
Epic game.
I missed the golf the day before, Howie. How bad was?
Oh, you were a crook.
crook got food poisoning, went to a Mexican joint on the Friday night, and we were going to the golf on the Saturday and the Super Bowl Sunday.
Look, the whole par three.
The yes. Arizona, yeah.
So we had
the party hole.
Waste management.
Had tickets in a marquee.
Oh,
on the party hole.
Oh.
I reckon it was one of the best ones ever, too.
So it's the most expensive day I've ever laid in bed, Howie.
What's your ticket to the party hole?
2.5.
2.5? What's your ticket to the Super
you
Bowl?
You must have been crook.
10?
You must have been crook to give up. Well, how bad were you?
Shocking diarrhea.
Wouldn't be
stomach.
Too much information.
Stomach cramp.
Just go with sick. You were sick.
Crook first.
Stomach cramp.
Oh, imagine it.
And I thought... So I was up from sort of midnight the night before.
You're still thinking you pushed through at this stage?
Went and had a shower, got myself ready. We're getting picked up at 8:30 down in the morning. I get down there, and the teammates I'm travelling looked at me and they said, "You're a touch off peak, the colour." They said, "A little bit white." I said, "Oh, got to go to the golf." And just as the car pulls up, we're about to get in, I feel the spasm and the urge.
No, that'll do.
Oh, no.
I start spewing in the gutter. Not only that, there's an old bloke about 10 metres away, Nate, looking at me, probably thinking I'm hungover from the night before and it's alcohol. And I'm just going, into the gutter. And I just looked at the boys and said, "Can't come." And then ran straight back up to the room.
Chief,
and spent
thought.
The day in bed.
Oh, we need to continue Chief's travels because there's so much still to explore. But
you caught up with Ange Postecoglou.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that. But we've got to speak to the premiership player out of Geelong, Jack Henry, whose brother Ollie is debuting for his footy club tonight. Jack, Mark Howard here. Good evening. How much of Chief's story did you hear there?
Hey, guys, yeah, no, I was tuning in there.
Too much
story.
Sorry, mate.
Sorry about that. No, it was good.
Hey, mate, we'll get to you and the premiership, et cetera, but a proud night for your family tonight. How's your brother feeling? And what was it like when you realised that he was going to join you at the footy club, mate?
Yeah, it was unbelievable to have him back at Geelong. I was actually in Dingle, where Mark O'Connor's from, when I officially heard the news. So I was, a bit dusty in the off-season when I heard it, so it didn't sink in probably until I got back and started training with him. But, it was really nice. I just presented his jumper just then in the rooms, and I think he's pretty excited. It's a good one to come back for as well.
Jack, just on yourself, late February, match simulation against Hawthorn, you had a foot problem, went to Queensland to see a foot specialist, had a form of procedure around it. The club said it was going to be a medium-term sidelining of you. Is there an update on your situation? Do you know when you're going to be back?
I personally don't know. I think because it is a reoccurring injury in my foot, I'm happy just to make sure I get it fully right so I don't keep having any issues with it, to be honest. So, I mean, I've got no real date set on when I need to be back or want to be back, but I think I'm around that medium term.
And so just with that, it was the foot injury that you had last year as well? It's the same one?
Yeah, same foot.
And the condition of it, what is it you've been told that you're suffering?
It was a fracture.
Yeah, okay. And is it possible that you may take until halfway through the year before you may want to test it in a match situation?
Possibly. I mean, again, I'll see how I'm tracking and how I'm, generally how I'm feeling. There's usually take... we've got our parameters we need to hit on field training wise, so just go on how it feels and be back whenever I need to be.
So when you're fit and you're up and running and maybe it's even next pre-season rolls around, Jack, and you're predominantly playing in defence and your brother's playing in attack and you're scrimmaging up on each other, how does that match up go?
It's good. He's we've got a few big boys back there now who take the Hawks and Jezzes of the world, so I actually might get him, but to be honest, I'll try and get his body. Got a bit more size on him at the moment. So, push the younger guys around while you can.
Any lip? Does he have a bit of cockiness about him?
Yeah, behind the four doors, he'll definitely run his mouth plenty, but I don't think he's got the wit that I do, to be honest.
We're talking to Jack Henry, his younger brother Ollie, who's joined the Cats. He's going to debut for the Cats tonight. Jack, can I ask you, my wife Beck was listening. Our three boys, we've got a beautiful daughter as well, but they punch the suitcase out of each other and she thinks there's something wrong that's not normal, they shouldn't fight. Did you blew a bit with Ollie growing up or not?
Oh, it's great here. No, with me, I've got two brothers, so that's all we did. We had a nice backyard, trampoline, we wrestling, and we got, footies getting booted everywhere over the fences and just tackling each other. So, my parents probably thought the same.
Do you play all sports? Is there one sport that your brothers are better than you at? Is there cricket? Is it basketball? Who's the best at what?
Our older brother was probably the best athlete. He was a high jumper. He had us covered, that's for sure. And then I don't mind my soccer. I reckon I'd have them both covered in the soccer. What about Ollie? Ollie's probably best all around, to be honest. He's kind of got the skill in a broader sense. But
what did he jump the older brother?
I think he got up to about 207 centimetres. So yeah, he wasn't bad.
Ooh. And who do you follow in the soccer?
West Ham, you know, I'm following the relegation battle at the moment.
Every year, mate. Every year for the Hammers.
Oh, well, you were in Europe last year. No, but that's getting tense down there.
Jack, the mindset of defending a premiership, which you obviously secured last year, you just come across to we on the outside as being, as a group, as a collective, almost unflappable. What is it about your club that almost has you not affected by the success of last year?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think it's definitely driven into us really well from our senior players and our coaches. Everything trickles down from there into our younger guys who are hungrier than ever to try and get a taste of playing in the seniors and trying to go after more success, I guess. But, it definitely stems from our senior core group.
Hey, Jack, we really appreciate your time. A nice night for your family tonight, and we hope to see you playing out there in the hoops again really soon, mate. And again, congratulations on the premiership, mate. There'll be plenty more coming your way.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
For Ream Hot Water at McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
We'll lead up to Collingwood and Geelong, but we need to continue to explore your trip. So you went to the Super Bowl, but you had the pleasure of going to watch Celtic as well, yeah, and hang out with them.
Yeah, well, we went to New York after the Super Bowl, saw an NBA game.
Right.
And that's where it hit home how badly Ben Simmons is going over there.
Right.
So we went and saw the Nets play the Heat. And a couple of weeks before we get there, they trade Kyrie and KD. So I'm thinking we're going to get a belter of a game, and then all of a sudden they're not there. But Ben Simmons, seriously, you to understand the fall from grace, this is a man that's on a $177 million contract over 4 years. It's just ludicrous.
It's a sad story, Chief, isn't it?
It is.
An athlete, number one overall draft pick, who showed that he can play at that level.
Yep.
So, you know, was an all-star, top five starter in his first couple of years.
At the 76ers, he virtually got... He felt he had no choice but to leave because he got no support from Joel Embiid and the coach didn't do a hell of a lot
for him. Is he getting bad advice from the people around him?
I think so, but he's also not doing himself any favours. So he didn't start. He came on early, scored with his first touch, got a little inside pass, layup basically. He had one shot 30 seconds later, which hit the bottom of the net, went for a little hook, and it was rubbish. And from then on, didn't take another shot for the game.
Cool.
And found himself in so many good positions where he could just turn and drive at the basket or even, you know, make a layup. And the crowd, they're all aware. It was actually uncomfortable listening to them turn on him and say, "Shoot it!
Wow.
Do something!" I'm going, oh, my God, this is how bad it's got. And you wonder about his mental state, where he's at, and where does he go from here? Because he won't get... I mean, they talk about trading him. Who's going to pick him up at $40 million a year?
Extraordinary. I mean,
6'10", 210 kilo, one of the best athletes on the planet, Ben Simmons, number one overall draft pick. I was chatting to Gazy during the week, who's such, you know, the doyen of Australian basketball, never says a bad word about anyone, just saying how... It's hard it is to watch, to see someone that could. And, you know, the fact he didn't play in the Olympics, the advice not to do that at the time. Look back at that medal-winning moment with Paddy Mills. That's a tough sporting story, that one.
Yeah, it is, unfortunately.
Celtic.
So then headed over to Glasgow, which is a beautiful city I'd never been to before. Went and saw Celtic play Aberdeen. And we caught up with Ange Postecoglou, who's just the loveliest bloke you'll ever see. I was telling Duke before, they introduce all the players out on the ground, home crowd, absolutely packed. They introduce the players and they all get a loud cheer. Then they introduce the manager and Ange gets the loudest cheer of all from the home crowd. That's how much they idolise him. And he's getting offers everywhere. So he'll pick and choose his next step, probably in
Premier League,
in the EPL, I would suspect.
And Chief, did you know him well before
I'd never met him. But... Okay. We saw him after, so one of the guys I travelled with is best mates with him. And we went into a corporate thing and did the game and whatever. And then afterwards we had a drink and caught up and he came back in and had a little chat with us, which was great. And then we had dinner with him the following night.
He loves his footy.
Oh, he does. But he's just a lovely bloke. I was knocked over by how nice a bloke he is and how level-headed a bloke he is.
Chief,
he's flying.
We've only got a minute to go. You had a little European sojourn. You went to the Cinque Terre and you went to that. Didn't you go to Italy?
No, that was in October.
Yeah, but you say you did have a little trip to Italy?
Yeah, way back in October.
Right, and that was with your brother as well?
No, you're an idiot.
little romantic getaway.
No, it wasn't
was
a romantic getaway.
You've got a little twinkle in your eye.
No, I don't have any twinkle in my eye.
I'm a good reader of body language, Chief. Well,
you've got on easy.
You go with Chief.
I went with a friend. I traveled with,
Right, and was it separate rooms?
We've gone back to separate rooms. October now.
It's the off season. We haven't seen you since then, Chief. And you were sending us messages how much you loved us.
You're on your own with this one, Howard.
Went for the Amalfi Coast.
To one of the most romantic places in the world, Dars.
No, it's one of the most picturesque places
beautiful.
In the world. Can I see outside for a tick?
Was there any swinging of hands, Chief?
I'll see you outside.
He's been to the Northern Lights after that as well.
I'll
show you something that's swinging outside.
That's why he's happy, Chief.
Yes, McDonald's doing hot water.
A bunch of tools.
For Ream Hot Water at McDonald's, Triple M rocks free.